Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This morning, turn with me and looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, so you can look at that. And I know we like to kind of keep up date. I hate to mention anything because you forget things and stuff like that. However, I think it's worth mentioning that Chase Alvarez won the state of Virginia wrestling. Number one in the States. I just advise you not to mess with him. You know, I haven't done. Lisa can whip him, but no, I wouldn't. Lisa can. Anyway, but congratulations, Chase. That's wonderful. A lot of work and dedication there. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and that you reveal things to us we wouldn't know unless you would speak to us. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, as we look into your word, we ask you through the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and just show us what you have to say. Excuse me. And Lord, and I was just being transparent before you and before the congregation as I was coming in this morning. I said, Lord, this, unless you come and reveal this message to each individual, it's really not worth giving. In fact, the message is better off not given at all, unless you come and reveal yourself. And so I just say, come, Holy Spirit, come and just anoint us and make this real to us this morning. So I pray you anoint me with your Spirit, and I speak words of the Spirit, and each heart is open to receive. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As we've been saying that we have gone through our legacy, and there's 8 points we've gone through. Well, this is the last point. This is the last one. And in the comment, what I mean by that, and I want to repeat it so people that kind of understand, is just as you walk around, involve us, how we talk and how we interact, these basic things we believe, you know, and so you will know kind of where one would know kind of where we're coming from. And so I felt it was, you know, important for us just to review that. All of it's review. There's no new information here. It's all review over the past years and stuff. But I felt like these truths are not, say, for you to convince somebody of something else. The truths are that we can walk in confidence in who we are and dealing with all the stuff that comes at us. If we have opportunity to share, that's fine. But embracing these truths will enable us to dismantle, neuter, defeat anything Satan throws at us. And these messages are to redirect the conversation to Jesus, who holds the answers to all questions. So it's a real lesson. Okay, no, this is who we are, and we're not going to argue about what you're going to argue about. We're going to tell you who we are. And as we do that, we redirect the conversation to Jesus. So all of a sudden that people disagree with us are arguing with Jesus, you know. And, you know, that's the wisdom we need behind that. And I even put at the top, I think, the overhead there on my notes I have, I said, each of these statements you can do with a smile on your face. You don't have to be upset. You get upset, you know. No, you don't have to get upset. You say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. And we walk in this, and therefore we're witness, and any conversations are redirected to Jesus. Also, I notice on the last one, you can turn there now, 1 Corinthians 1:7. On all my other notes, except when I got to this one, I have 1 Corinthians 1:8. So that was just the Lord saying, I have to humble myself that I had the wrong verse in there for 7 weeks. But so the last verse is 1 Corinthians 1:7. 1 Corinthians 1:8 is very good, but it's not the one I'm talking about. So here we are. We want to look at this. And so as we look at this, because it's the last one, I just want to read through these right quick, not spend any time on them much. But it sets the tone. Our legacy. Here are the 8, if you will. Number one, God speaks today. That's what we believe. Number two, scriptures are God-breathed. Not another book. They're God-breathed. Number three here, Jesus loves us and he died for us. Number four, faith is hearing God, then obeying. And again, faith, you have to hear something, see something, and then you obey. You don't make stuff up, you know. Faith is hearing God, what he showed, and then obeying. The Holy Spirit is God in the man or woman. Freedom, little red wagon. You just have to, you know, you're going to have to look at the message to understand that. But freedom, we really believe in freedom. Christ says, you know, he has made us free. And just as a note, as we talk about all the lies coming to us, just as a note between me and you, the people who take away freedom from you are in the church. Because people outside church don't care. But it's people in the church. You know, they'll put you under rules. They'll put you under law. And like that. And so they're the ones that will weigh you down with freedom. And what that does is quench the Holy Spirit. It quenches the Holy Spirit. They think they're being holy, but they're quenching the Holy Spirit. So anyway, if you want more information, go to the look at that message. Okay. And then number 7, male leadership exalts the woman. And with that, you know, again, in the world today, and even unfortunately in the church, not recognizing this, male leadership is important, because what the Bible says, a man is to love his wife like Christ loved the church. You know, see, we just that statement, we have a bunch of guys already bailing on this, you know. You know, okay, no, male leadership exalts the woman, because a man is to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And that the marriage relationship is a picture of Christ and the church. So when you attack male leadership, you attack the very substance of the gospel. It's demonic. It's not a light thing. It's not a funny thing. Okay, now here we are this morning. Holy fire tools are gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:7. It says this. You are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I want to say, this one is last for a reason. I mean, somebody has a question, you don't go to number 8. Just, you know, it's last for a reason, all right? And in fact, the order of this, you know, is important. However, I don't want anybody to think, you got to go 1 to get 2. I know I'm not saying that. I'm thinking just in general and presentation, the order is important when you communicate something. And it's that you don't communicate number 8 is number 1. I mean, it's 99 times out of 100. It's not going to work. So just don't do that. But that's the reason to say, but it is important. It is important to us. And again, I'm not trying to put y'all under. You know, you can't go to 3 till you cover. I'm not doing that. I just, in general, as you go through that, so that you don't think I am putting you under the law and, you know, rules and regulations, but just as a general statement. So here we are. So look at this verse. And this verse is really, as you meditate on it, it's very, very interesting. And it says, you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus. See, what this is saying is gifts of the Spirit, the holy fire tools, are available until when? Christ returns. They're available until Christ returns. Now, we have all the spiritual gifts to live the Christian life. We have everything we need. All right. We may not use it, but we have everything we need. That's what it's saying here. Now, I want you to say this, and this is Wallace's statement, but, you know, it's scripturally based. It's important. There is not one single verse in the Bible that says the gifts have ceased. Not one. Think about that. That's the reason that people believe the gifts have ceased. Write books this thick. Because you need a book this thick, because it's not mentioned in the Bible. It doesn't say it. Now, therefore, with all this, we are able to live supernaturally in this natural world. That's what God's telling us. See, that's what God is trying to tell us all through the scripture, who we are. The problem is we don't know. And so he's telling us through the scriptures. So we're look at this. So now looking this on holy fire tools or gifts of the Spirit. Holy fire tools is my statement. Actually, that is R.T. Kendall's statement, and I stole it. But so, anyway, I don't think he cares. But holy fire tools is my statement. But it says holy fire tools are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, so when we look at this, we're looking at this whole section, we should say, what are spiritual gifts? What are spiritual gifts? Okay, it doesn't say, you know, it's not necessarily gifts you were born with or, you know, different abilities, although all things come from God because God created mankind, you know, and there's all, we have His grace even if we don't believe. But these are spiritual gifts given by the Spirit that we want to look at this morning. And God uses our natural gifts and, that He has given and stuff. And, you know, I don't want to get all into that because that's a truth. He's gifted us all in work. He's gifted unbelieving people. Unbelievable. You think something, how can this guy do? That's amazing. Where did he got that from God. He doesn't give God credit, but he got, because he made mankind. He made all abilities. Okay. Sidebar. What are spiritual gifts? Now, this is a very, very good question. Because look at 1 Corinthians 12:1. It's a good question. You know. What are spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you uninformed. Aren't you glad you asked that question? What are spiritual gifts? Hey, that's a good question. I don't want you uninformed. God wants us to be informed about spiritual gifts. We need to be informed about spiritual gifts. That's the reason He said this. See, you don't know, so let me tell you. You don't know, so let me tell you. Now, I'm going to make sure. You know, see the little asterisk up there by spiritual gifts? Now, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to give you a definition, and I'm going to give you a Greek definition. And just so you know where it comes from, just make the point. It's Vine's complete dictionary on the Bible. It's from Vine's complete dictionary on the Bible. So if you want to look this up, this is where I come. But it is fascinating, and this is fairly a new discovery for me, but when I saw this, it was like, wow. So, this is the definition, the Greek word for spiritual gifts. You can show the next slide. I put it up there. Okay? And you see why I wanted a slide. See what the spiritual gifts is? I can't say that. Pneumatic atokos or something. Anybody else want to try? I don't know. But anyway, that's spiritual gifts. That's a translation. All right? And then it goes, then it has Greek writing, and where you can find it in the Strong's Concordance is 4152. Okay? Why did I put that here? This is important because these gifts never ended. They continue. But what's fascinating, this word always connotates the idea of invisibility and of power. Now think about it. It's invisible, and it always, when that word is used, now, in your Bible, it'll be spiritual gifts, okay? But when that word in the Greek is used, that's what it means. Always invisibility and power. This word does not occur in the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. About 300 B.C., I mean, they wrote the Old Testament, In Hebrew. Well, the Greeks, you know, they conquered the whole world. It became the intellectual language and all that. Well, what the Jews did, they took the Hebrew and they translated it into Greek about 300 B.C. So they actually have, like our New Testament, they have an Old Testament in Greek. What the point is, when they translated it like that, this word doesn't appear. Spiritual gifts, they have the Greek, but it's not in the Old Testament. That word's not in the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? Also, the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, it's not in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This word is not in the New Testament. I mean, in the four Gospels. Isn't that interesting? Those are in Greek, Old Testament Greek, and this is not in the Old Testament or the four Gospels. Look at this, and I have it in red. It is, in fact, an after-Pentecost word. think about that. Now, this is from Vine's Dictionary. It's an after Pentecost word. What had it? Pentecost. What happened to Pentecost? They all get there, 120 days, they're praying and praying. Jesus said, don't you leave till you baptize the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything. You know? And it's at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and empowered them. This word doesn't happen until after that. Think on that. It doesn't happen until after that. So when it says right here, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, the gifts that came after Pentecost. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you're fluent in Greek, you know, they would probably pick that up. Now, us, we don't see that, you know, when it's translated to the English. So when we see it, that means, since it's an after Pentecost word, it's meaning these gifts are for the New Testament believer in the church. How dare somebody say they ended? How dare? And I know, and I could just rattle them off, that believe that. That believe, and not only do they believe that, they strongly believe that. You know, like in a nice theological way, eat your lunch, think that, okay? That they ended, the wrong statement. But, and the holy, and again, anytime you want to look at anything, you want to go back to the scriptures about what you feel the Lord is saying, and you don't want to get in these types of arguments or anything. You just, God, what are you? I mean, how many times? Just tell me. I just want to know what you say. You know, I think probably a lot of you go home and say, just tell me. I just want to know what you say. I'm not sure Wallace knows anything, but just you tell me. You see what I'm saying? And that's okay. In fact, that's what you should do. But this word, just huge. It's an after Pentecost word. It's a church word. It didn't come about until the church. And it's not going to leave until the church leaves. It's just not. Okay. So everybody have an amen on that? I mean, that's a huge Vine's complete biblical dictionary, if you want to look it up. Vine's. Now, so here we are. Hallelujah. Now, where do these gifts come from, and why do we need them? All right, that's the next thing. Why? Well, you need this. I've heard people tell me it's. And again, unfortunately, these discussions, like this discussion, you're not going to get involved with people that are going to church. I mean, it is whatever. You know, they're not. It's people in the church. And yet, you don't want to argue with people. I love the guy I have in mind that would just absolutely adamantly says they don't exist. I mean, he's a really neat guy and has some real neat stuff. So, I mean, I'm not, like, mad at him or anything like that, but it's like, all right, I'll let you. But I'm also not intimidated by him. Why? Because I think he did wrong, you know. And my view and experiences have shown it to be that. But I think the scriptures are very clear. He's wrong. Now, so here we have, so as we look at this feeling, this is having us feel confidence in ourselves as we move within the church. And two, when we share with unbelievers, we can be confident when they ask questions, you know, about those things. And this is just about being who we are. Who we are. Okay. Where do these gifts come from, and why do we need them? People say, I don't need them. I don't need them. I can be happy with Jesus without them. It's not what I meant, but I've had people tell me, I don't need them. I'm happy with Jesus without them. Okay. But where do these gifts come from, and why do we need them? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God, who empowers them all in everyone. They just brought this whole bunch of giftings and abilities and everything together under God, who empowers and gives us, and then we move in those things. And you say, this is from God. This is from God. He intended those for us. And if he intended them for us for a common good, we shouldn't say, I don't need them, don't want them, I'm fine without them. Okay, now, as we live this life, The Holy Spirit gives each believer different gifts for the common good of the church. Now, they have an example, and I didn't put this in. And, you know, I mean, Paul has a sense of humor. And he says, well, if everybody wanted to be an eyeball, where would the hearing be? Everybody wants to be ear. Where would the seeing be? See, so he's trying to explain, you know, you all got different gifts. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it, you know. And it kind of is just be happy you're an ear and not an eyeball. You know, I mean, that's his humor in saying that, but he's making a point. He's giving gifts, and those gifts are special to that person who God wants you to have those gifts. See, and we're different. It'd be really, really boring if we were all an eyeball. It would really be gross, too. Anyway, so this is what he's saying here. The Holy Spirit gives each believer different gifts for the common good of the church. Jesus empowers believers and uniquely builds his church as he desires. Now, that's one reason churches are different. They preach the gospel and stand, they're different. It's kind of a different feel about what's right, because he made them all different. They're not cookie cutter churches. Now, and so he builds his church as he uniquely desires. Now, there are many, many God-given gifts, but these gifts we're going to talk about right now, these gifts were given by the Holy Spirit after salvation, spiritual gifts after Pentecost. Gifts after salvation and after Pentecost. So the church is different than what went before. So here we are. Here's a summary. I'm just going to read. And this isn't meant like this is all there is. But he's giving us an idea of what's happening, because when the church, first century church, it's like they're going, whoa. You know, I mean, it was hard for them to understand and handle all this. And the Apostle Paul, like in letters like this, is explaining to them how to function in these gifts. Okay? And 1 Corinthians is, most people agree, it's a book of correction. Well, why does he tell them? He said, because you're messing up. I need to correct you on this subject. Okay, so this isn't meant to cover everything, but it gives us a good idea. What are these gifts from the Holy Spirit? These spiritual gifts, these after Pentecost gifts. What are these church gifts? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, to each is given, pause, pause. Who's given? Each. Y'all may be really surprised about this. God didn't give me all the gifts to share with you. He's gave me a little one, like that, you know, and he said, you use that. You use that. And like I've told Adam, I've prayed and prayed. Be anointed with the gift, the music. I'm tone deaf and can't sing. Can't sing. I told Pastor Mitter one time, I said, why didn't God give me the gift of music? He said, they got enough singers. I said, okay, fine, I'll take that, you know. But he could have given me a little bit. I mean, just a tiny, he didn't give me nothing. I mean, not one thing. And you think I'm joking a bit. No, I am not joking. It's really, really sad. I have to tell you a little story. I had our daughter once when she was a baby. I was rocking her, and I sang like a lullaby to her, and she was little. She little, couldn't walk. And I just fanned her, and she reached her little hand up and put it over my mouth. I'm telling you, it's just when you don't have it, just face up to it, all right? I have something else, and I'm good with that. All right, so here for it. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now look, making known, manifestation. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It all coming in together, God's gifts for the common good, to do what he desires. And it goes this, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Now that's a wisdom. Now this is a after Pentecost word, like a spiritual wisdom that God will give about things in the Spirit. It's not just a lot of wise people. That's not what this is. It's a gift of wisdom from the Spirit, where the Spirit tells you and gives you wisdom, and you apply that. That's the difference. Okay. One is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. I have this gift, and so I'm better than you. Now it's the same, one Spirit. I give you this, I gave you that. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one as he wills. Be happy with what you get. Thank you, God, for what I have. I had a meeting one time with a bunch of guys, and I said, what do you think is the Spirit, what do you think is a gifting you would like to have, and, you know, what is your gift, and, you know, just one of those things. And guys, we're just talking around. What I learned is fascinating. No one considered their own spirit is particularly important, but they liked other people's gifting. And I thought, well, why is that? You know why? Because your gifting seems natural. You appreciate it because you just do it. You know, I mean, I just do it, you know. And so it doesn't seem that important or that hard, or it doesn't seem like that unusual. But somebody else says, wow, what they do is really something. Because yours comes so naturally. And that's what happens when God gives you something. It comes naturally. Naturally. Amen? But so that's kind of what we have here, and that's what it's saying. We understand what's going on. Because when you got whatever spiritual gift God's given you, you feel totally at ease with it. And you're so at ease with it, it doesn't seem that big a deal. But it's powerful. And you need, and the Lord said, recognize it's powerful. And who you see somebody else you think is really powerful, they're no more powerful than you are. See, they just have something different. Now, so when we see these, we see that all these gifts come from the one and same Spirit. The same, one and same Spirit who gives to each of us individually as he desires. Now, I have teach a Holy Fires Tool class, okay? And enjoy it, and it's a fun class, and I discuss specific spiritual gifts and how to recognize them, receive them, use them, and so it's we have a fun time doing that. But this is not what we're talking about here. The big point, what we're talking about here, we're highlighting that these gifts still exist and did not end in the first century. Look what they did in the book of Acts. Yeah, okay? Keep doing it. See, it didn't end. It didn't end. You individually, before the Lord, he's going to give you everything you need for that specific thing at that time. At that time. And so you want to be, we need to understand that. So we learn to appropriate the gifting God has us. You know, have you ever thought, why am I in this situation? You know, because God has gifted you to be in that situation. And he will empower you in that situation. But God, I can't. It has nothing to do with it. This is a spiritual after Pentecost gift. That's how it's going to happen. Oh, okay. But if you don't know that, you're not appropriating it. You know, you don't step out in confidence. Okay, God, you got me here. You need to really speak. You need to move out so I can reflect you in this situation. Now, so that's the picture. That's the whole picture. Now, should we desire these gifts? Should we desire these gifts? 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love. It's a good prerequisite. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly. Look at Vicar, understand them. See, I'm telling you this, and you need to understand, step out into, ask God, and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Now, earnestly desire means like really, really earnestly desire. Okay? It's not just like whatever, you know. You earnestly desire. Now, why should we desire these gifts? Why? It could be, you know, have a big following on Facebook, you know, if I got some of these gifts, you know, be on television or something. No, that's not why you do that. Why do we desire spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 14:12. Since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Are you building up the church? Then you're using your gift the way it's supposed to be used. Not building yourself up. Are you building up the church? Is the church better off for what you're doing? Before the Lord, this is His body. How are you expressing your gift to glorify His body? He put you here to glorify His body. And so spiritual gifts should be used to build the church up. To build the church up. Now, the reason, and it goes on, the reason we desire spiritual gifts is for building up the church. The exercising of spiritual gifts, and as I say this, everybody has an idea of the expression of spiritual gifts in the church or whatever, and you have this picture of what this looks like. You know, and usually you have a picture of like this looks like, and you think this church has really experienced the gift through first thought, and I ain't going, you know, hooting and hollering. I'm not going to do this, you know. I mean, that's what our fear is. And that may be going on. But what it is, the exercising of spiritual gifts is not chaotic. It's not out of control, but it's edifying and orderly to build up the church. It's not like, look at me, but this is help to build the church. It's out. This one, it's out. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 14:26, and here's an example. 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together. Now, I think that means when you come together as a service, or when you come together as a home group, or when you come together in whatever, you know, but probably main is a service, but you know, other groups too. It says, When you come together, each one, who? Each one. When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, holy cow, you got a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, interpretation, and I see one big mess, everybody coming together. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, you can't pull this off. But He said, no, it's orderly. It is edifying. So you work together, and you all have been so kind to say, okay, Wallace has a gift of teaching. Can't sing. There are a lot of things he can't do. But, you know, he likes to teach, and we're going to allow him because he is to teach. But we don't want him on the stage. We don't want him to have a mic, you know. I mean, the Bible says to make a joyful noise to the Lord. But it doesn't say you give him a mic. You know? So, but the point of it is, it's the body working together, and so you make decisions as you participate in the body, and everybody uses their gifting. They did the tea, and Roseanne and Annette, and I walked back there, and it's like, that was beautiful. You look at that. Who would ever thought to do that? See, it's a total different gift. And like, if you don't have the gift, you don't even know how. You know, I don't even know how that happened. You know, how'd they think of that? But the point of it is you come together and it works together, unifying, building up the church, and all the gifts work the way God has given them. No, by the way, are you getting to the point? No one can say, I don't have a gift. I mean, that's just like saying, I don't know Jesus. You can't say you don't have a gift. You have a gift. May not know what it is, may not understand it, but you can't say you don't have a gift. All right? And so we see that each one would come together. They had these gifts, and it's for you use them for the building up the church. So you have to organize them. They need to be in order, you know. And then as you use administrative gifts to pull them together, then they can be in order. They can be in order. And first of all, spiritual gifts. Everybody has a spiritual gift, all right? Now, is everybody 100% correct in everything they say? Set me above that. No, you should. I didn't say that. No, you're not. You're not. God has given you a gift, and you work out of that gift. But he's given other people gifts, and other people can pick up. Listen, I don't love you, but and I've had people come up to me and say, why does I love you like that? But you said such and such, and I don't see like that. I, okay. And I look, and I'm like, son of a gun, they were right. I misread that. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. That's the body working together. You see what I mean? And so gifts are good, but everything has to be tested against Scripture. Tested against Scripture. And see, that's one of the things, and when I share and teach, my out is, somebody coming, this is my take. Now you read it and see what it says to you. So I just took it off and gave it to you. This is what I see. This is what I share. But now you take it and see what God says to you. I said from what the Holy Spirit showed me, but I gave it to you, and now what is the Holy Spirit telling you? And it may be a little different than what he's telling me. Unless I just blow it and say, you shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. Y'all with me? But see, what you see a dynamic, how it's working in the church. Dynamics working in the church. In 1 Thessalonians 5:20, I have an overhead, and it's saying this, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. You know, I had a word, and the Lord laid this on my heart, and this is what, I just wanted to share this with you, and I'll just share it with you. And you just let it, okay? And you process it. And you test it. And it is perfectly legitimate to say, I really appreciate you, but that doesn't speak to me. That doesn't speak to me. Test everything. Why? Whoever shared it has the Holy Spirit with you, who also has the Holy Spirit. So we're working together. Working together. It also says, and I don't have an overhead this, for 1 Corinthians 14:29, it says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others way what he said. Okay, we'll listen, we'll talk it over, and we'll see. Now, the prophet prophet Isaiah came from the Old Testament, and he spoke, and nobody weighing what he said. And not, you know, I mean, the direct line God, he was God's mouthpiece, and you have, and that's how we got the Scriptures. That's how we got the Scriptures. But for the church, and after Pentecost word, we have giftings that filters through our own flesh, and we have to be cautious and have the whole body of Christ involved. There's no complete authority within the church except Christ. It works through all of us, through the Holy Spirit. Now, and then we go again to 1 Corinthians 14:40, and this is really important. But let all things be done decently in order. You ever been to a church and you think, hey, this is good, but it wasn't really decently in order? You know, it's just like, okay, love them, do that, fine, but it's just not my cup of tea. It wasn't decently and in order. It didn't make them wrong. It's just like, you know. All right, now here, I want to look at this. So you hear this information. You hear this information. We all have it. And like I say, I feel like I'm just repeating what we already knew before. But we walk in a confidence, and we understand how the Holy Spirit uses us, uses everybody in the church. And then we can discern truth, and we work together as a unit, as a body, as individuals, and as the body of Christ together. But now what I want to do now, I want to use two examples of two people who understood these gifts and used them. And as we see how they understood these gifts and used them, it helped us to understand these gifts and use them. Amen. So I'm going to pick two people, two men, Jesus and Paul. Jesus and Paul. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, these holy fire tools, are evident with Jesus, and they are experienced throughout the church. We see Jesus, the work of a perfect man. Perfect man. Jesus is God. He was. But he also, he is. He wasn't was. He is God. But he also was a man. He's a perfect man. How was he perfect? Because he was God. Okay, make your head hurt. But that's what happened. Perfect man, operated the way a man's supposed to be. But he's perfect because he was God. Therefore, he made no mistake. We have our own soul, you know, that just messes everything up. Jesus' soul was the spirit of himself, the holy God. So he did. It's man. He's a perfect man. And he acted perfectly. You with me? Okay. Well, look what Acts says about Jesus. Is the man. Is the man. Not his God. It's the man. Don't anybody leave here and say, well, they said Jesus wasn't God. I didn't either. He's God. But now in Acts, he makes a statement about him as a man. Acts 2:22. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Now, you know, y'all need to mark that down. I mean, it's like some, no. It's what's that? Jesus of Nazareth, a man. They're not talking about Jesus of Nazareth, God. They're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Is he walked on this earth behaving as a man? This reason, Jesus, I do nothing unless the Father tells me. Well, he's God. He can do anything he wants to, right? But as a man, he only did what God told him to, which is a lesson to us. As men, we should only do what God tells us to, okay? So we have Jesus of Nazareth, a man, attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. Process that. He was a man who did mighty works and miracles that God did through him. He could have done it by himself. But he humbled himself, came to this earth, and behaved as a man, totally dependent on God. That was his decision. A man went to the cross and died and took the penalty for our sins. But as God, he took them on for God. Okay? But so here we have, but so we're making God, anybody say, I want to be a good Christian. I said, well, live exactly like Jesus did. Because he did it perfect. Right? Well, you can't do that. I know, you have to be God to do that. You know? See? But here's the point. Get back here. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, attested to you with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him. Remember what Jesus said. I only do what the Father tells me. Jesus, do these miracles. And then he said, and he did it because God told him to. Y'all with me? That's what's saying here. That's what's saying here. And again, it's in the Gospel of John. I only do what the Father tells me. Only what the Father tells me. God did through him in your midst. You yourselves know. They saw him. It's like, yeah, this guy, he's something else. I mean, he really is something else. Because we saw all this happen. Never a hiccup. And so he's bringing all this to mind. and we see Jesus, the perfect man, and the perfect man doing miracles that God told him to do in this world. Amen? Okay, now let's look at Paul. Love Paul. Okay? Paul was an imperfect man. He's imperfect. Paul's just like us. He made mistakes. He even says he made mistakes. Had disagreements. Okay? He was a man. He's a perfect man, just like us. He said, I wish the Apostle Paul be here. And the Apostle Paul said to him, I'm not much to look at. You know, it was like, there's nothing special. And he would say that. I'm the worst of all sinners. You know, there's nothing special about him. And there wasn't. There wasn't anything special about Paul. He was imperfect, made mistakes, frustrated, and same just like us. Now let's look. Of course, he did write 3/4 of the New Testament and did unbelievable things. You know, God did unbelievable things through him. Now we saw Jesus, the man. Now let's look at Paul, the man. See any difference here? Paul, the man. Paul says, I will not venture. This is Romans 15, 18 and 19. Romans chapter 15, verse 18. Says, for I will not venture to speak anything. And that's a good statement for a preacher. I'm not going to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Now think, what happened to Paul? I'm not going to say anything except what Christ accomplished. How did Christ accomplish it? Through him. God accomplished things when Jesus was here. How did he accomplish it? Through Jesus. Now Jesus is in heaven, and God's going to work. Christ is going to work. How is he going to accomplish things? Through Paul. Through Paul. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me by word and deed, by powers of signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul did just what Jesus did. Paul did just what Jesus did. Paul wasn't God, but he did just what Jesus did by the power of the Holy Spirit in him. God would tell him what to do, and he did it. And it was God's power who did it, because God told him to do it. Amen? Two guys did the same thing. Now, Jesus is God, so he did it 100% right. But Paul, just like us, and he did it just like Jesus did it. And now, the church and how Paul did it. How Paul did it was that he did it with the after Pentecost word. He did it with an after Pentecost word for the church. The after Pentecost word for the church enabled Paul to behave like Jesus. The after Pentecost word enabled Paul to have the power like Jesus. As God told him, he did it, and it happened. And therefore, as the lessons, die to yourself. Well, that is no fun. But if there's less of you, there's more God, and you got whatever you say, I do it. And then you become powerful because you call out to God, become dependent on him. Show me what you say I will do, you take out, you say it, and the power of the Holy Spirit runs through you, and it happens. We're supposed to be like Paul. But we really got the example from Jesus, who did it perfect. But Paul carried on in the New Testament the way we're supposed to do. And now he's explaining to us. He's telling these people, okay, he's not saying, look at me. He didn't say that. He goes, no, you should be able to do this because you have all these gifts. You have all these gifts. So I'm going to just read this through. We have another overhead after. I think I put one up there. The next overhead. Yeah. So here we are. Jesus, a man. God did through him mighty works, wonders, and signs. Paul, a man. Christ has accomplished through him signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has given every believer the power of the Holy Spirit and have given them gifts. And we have the gifts we need, for where we are at, and all our gifts are different. And by the way, our personal gifts that we understand don't seem that big a deal because it's so natural to us. But we look at somebody else, like I look at Adam, and I'm like, man, that'd be the coolest thing to say. Man, when you can't carry a note, hear a tune, or nothing, that is really cool. You know, I don't think anybody can get up here and just blab for an hour. You know, it's just like, that's easy, you know. But wait a minute, that's a gift. Adam enjoys it, comes natural. The work of God. I love teaching, comes natural. I want to do that. And everybody else has similar gifts. Roseanne and Annette, I mean, you walk in and look at that. Set up, and it's like, holy cow. I mean, I really was like, wow. I mean, that was kind of amazing to look at that. Yeah. And it's kind of went in and did, I mean, it's hard work. Went in and did it, came and tore it down, you know, they're good. See? And it's like, no, if that was me, I took a picture, hung it on the wall, and my name under it. It's like, you know, look at that. You think I pulled, look at that. Now, anyway, so you give a good idea. So here, I'll wrap this thing up. Truth, our legacy. We have a relationship with God through Jesus and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have holy fire tools. We have them. We have them. So we close out with number 8. Number 8, the overhead here. Holy fire tools are gifts of the Spirit. And I put here what? One of the last books Paul wrote, 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into a flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is an activity to understand, move forward, to receive the gifts that God has already given you, to exercise the gifts that God has already given you. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't we feel excited about who we are? We are equipped. If we don't feel equipped, it means we just don't understand. Okay? But God is saying, look, I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll teach you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. And I do say, just come, Holy Spirit, come. Just, you're the only one that can reveal this. You're the only one that can touch a person, that can walk in this truth, because it's from you. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of a man or a woman. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's from you. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Just touch each person, Lord, and how you made them, how you gifted them, and just reveal to them what's at their fingers. And it says it desire spiritual gifts. And it even says desire greater gifts. Like, well, I think there's more. Lord, what do you want to do with me? That's all fine, but you're taking them to the Lord, and the Lord reveals them. So we thank you for that, God, as your children, love. And you've made us here, Lord, to have no fear, but walk in confidence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.